In this review, I'll talk about the Sony MZB-100. I'll also tell you a little bit about its little brother, the MZB-10, and I'll do a little comparison.
That's Michael Lang, a frequent contributor to Main Menu, a true audiophile, and a lover of all things related to digital audio. This is Tim Cummings, and a couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of sitting down and talking to Michael Lang about digital audio, past, present, and future. I began by asking Michael how he started doing reviews for Main Menu.
Jonathan Mosen actually brought me to all that kind of doing voice reviews. I heard a lot of his reviews on Main Menu and enjoyed them very much. And so he gave me the idea of doing such reviews, firstly in German and then also in English.
I think the first review that I heard, Michael, that you did was the review of the PTR1 from PlexTalk. And one of the things that really impressed me was how thorough you were. It was the first review that I'd ever heard where a person gave actually a table of contents. And I noticed that all your reviews are very thorough. Do you sit down and think, well, I'm going to do this review so that a person can listen to my review and be able to use this product without even picking up the manual, or?
I'm afraid that's not the reason why I gave the table of contents. I was just a bit unsure. It was my first English language review, and I was just trying to get everything planned very thoroughly so that I wouldn't make too many mistakes. And that was the most important reason why I did that so thoroughly.
How did you become interested in audio stuff, and what was your first recorder?
I began with analog stuff. I mean, I had a reel-to-reel tape machine in the early 80s when these machines were already dying out, or at least weren't manufactured anymore. I was very excited when the mini disc came out in 92. I think my first digital recorders were mini disc recorders like the MZ1, the first Sony mini disc recorder, which had a numerical keypad on it. Since then, digital recording became more interesting all of the time. I mean, it's so fascinating at the moment. I think it's one of the most exciting technical things in this decade. The cassette is dying out, or at least it becomes a niche, but the mini disc is also becoming a niche. I mean, it's not the successor to the cassette. What are people using to make digital recordings? Sometimes it seems to me that we all have to use cameras in 10 years or so, but I really hope that this will not be the case.
It seems that over the last couple of years, although among blind people, mini disc recorders in this country seem to be very popular, they seem to be not as popular among the rest of the general population. Do you know anything about that? And what's the popularity of mini disc recorders like in Europe?
I heard that too. I was once in the United States in 88, so I cannot say how mini disc is going there. You probably know more about that than I, but I heard that too. And here in Europe, I think it's not as famous as it is in Japan. There are sighted people here who have mini discs, but most of them seem to be radio professionals and music professionals, people like that. The normal person has a DVD recorder in his living room, and that's it. A lot of blind people here have mini disc recorders.
Let's talk about mini disc recorders for a couple of minutes. You reviewed the MZB-100, and I own one, and it's one of the business recorders. I like it very much, but one of the big complaints that I have about it is that its headphone level output is very low.
I think the low output of Sony headphone jacks is a general problem. The output is much better with Sharp mini disc recorders, and you can immediately see that when you look at the specs. Sharp says 2x8 milliwatts for the headphone out, while Sony says most of the time 2x5 milliwatts. And here in Europe, there is a law in France which asks the manufacturers of all audio equipment to make the headphone output not too loud. The French state wants to protect the ears of their citizens, which is nice, but I don't like it. It makes it difficult to connect such machines to stereo systems when you don't have a line out. So I like my headphone outputs really loud. The best method to protect the ears of people, in my opinion, is to let the unit go on with a relatively low volume level so that one can adjust it after that. And I think the main problem is that people turn the unit on, they left it with the volume turned up at the full level, and then they wear their headphones. Oh, man.
One of the big debates that rages in the mini-disc community is whether the 8-track compression that's used in mini-disc recording is inferior to just recording a regular WAV file sampled at 44 kilohertz. Are you able to tell the difference between a file recorded on the mini-disc and a regular WAV file in terms of quality?
I only had one situation where I clearly could hear the difference, and I will try to tell you how this can be done. Set your machine to LP4, connect a stereo mic to it, connect a stereo headphone to it, and make a recording, as I said, in LP4, and move the microphone from left to right, right to left, continuously, back and forth, and say something like, la. The problem seems to be the joint stereo. When this goes from left to right, right to left to right, you hear, I can't explain it, but it really sounds artificial. I don't think that this happens in LP2, but it happens in LP4. I think it's relatively easy to produce artifacts when you use LP4, but I never heard any differences when I use LP2 or the normal standard recording quality.
What's the status these days on manual level control on the Sony recorders? I know some of the first recorders that came out, like the MZR37 and the MZR50, had manual as well as automatic level control. And of course, the business recorders like the MZB10 and the MZB100 only have automatic level control. What about the newer recorders?
The newest Sony mini disc recorders, the second high MD generation, like the MZNH10, has manual recording level control. It's not the default. You have to activate it for every recording. So Sony thinks that their automatic level control is so good that most people will use that most of the time. And I agree. I like the automatic level control with the Sony recorders very well. But you have manual recording level control with the non-business recorders.
Talk a bit about high MD. This is the new medium that's come out for mini disc, and there's been a lot of promotion about it because you can upload files in faster than real time from the mini disc to the computer, and there's a lot of talk about high MD. How have you found high MD in terms of accessibility and so forth?
I have the MZNH700 here. This is a recorder of the first high MD recorder generation from Sony. The advantage of these machines compared to Generation 2 is that you can record in the old LP and SP formats with the first high MD recorder generation. You can't do that anymore with Generation 2. The advantage of Generation 2 is that you can directly play MP3 files with the newer high MD machines. However, you still have to use Sonic Stage, the Sony mini disc file transfer software, to get the MP3s onto the high MD recorder, onto the mini disc. The software doesn't have to convert the MP3 stuff to 8-track anymore, but you still have to use it. In the last days, a new version of Sonic Stage, version 3.2, has come out, and I read in some forums that it's much more stable than the older versions, and the older versions weren't just stable, they were quite awful to use with a screen reader, in my opinion. It was doable, but I like my MZNH700 because one can record from the radio in very good quality nearly 8 hours. That's great. But I don't do audio file transfers from and to the mini disc. I like mini disc as a backup medium. It is slow, but it is extremely reliable. It is very robust.
One of the supposed advantages of the high MD decks is that they can record in uncompressed format as opposed to the older 8-track format that regular mini disc recorders use. Have you read any comparisons about this new uncompressed format and how it compares to the older format?
Sound quality with the uncompressed files, I'm not too keen on that. I read in a Hi-Fi magazine that they compared it with a Sony mini disc deck, and Sony decks can only use the older mini discs, and they said even if these decks cannot record in uncompressed format, they sound better. Until we see a high MD deck, when you really want audio file quality, you would better use mini disc decks.
Over the years, a lot of companies have produced mini disc recorders, but it seems that Sony and Sharp have been the most two popular makers of mini disc recorders. Can you compare the two brands in terms of advantages and disadvantages?
I have a Sharp and I like it very well. It definitely has its advantages. The headphone out sounds much better. The mic preamp has less noise. And you can also do some nice things when you record via the microphone. You can set the recorder to set track marks in certain time intervals, which is possible with newer Sony. They borrowed the feature from Sharp. And you have the manual recording level control as a default. So it is very easy to make recordings and adjust the recording level while recording. This is not possible with Sony recorders, even if they have manual recording, at least with the older ones. So it's good to have a Sony and a Sharp, in my opinion.
Is Sharp still making mini-disc recorders? And if so, which ones would you recommend for blind people?
That's a good question. I asked that in the Alt Audio mini-disc news group, and somebody told me that they still develop new mini-disc recorders, but only for the Japanese market. I looked at the American and the U.S. and the German homepage of Sharp, and I found a hint on both homepages that mini disc recorders from Sharp aren't available anymore in Germany or in the US. I have the 821. I think the 831 is even better than the 821. These are my two favorite Sharp recorders. I mean, they have all buttons on the body, so you don't have to use a remote control, and they are still available on eBay. So if anybody wants to get a Sharp, I would recommend the 821 or the 831.
Looking back at some of the main menu reviews that you did, one of them was on an MP3 CD player from iRiver. They were very popular at one time. iRiver has now discontinued MP3 CD players. Do you know why that is?
I was very surprised to learn that iRiver doesn't produce MP3 CD players anymore, and I tried to explain that to myself, and I thought, well, why should a sighted person burn his MP3 stuff to a CD? When it's on a CD, one can't delete single tracks. One can't move tracks from folder to folder. All this is possible with flash and hard disk MP3 players. And that's the reason why MP3 CD players aren't as liked as they were 2 or 3 years ago.
What companies still make CD MP3 players, and which ones would you recommend?
The majority of portable Panasonic CD players can do MP3. So it's not too difficult to find an MP3 CD player. There are loads of cheap MP3 CD players available. The problem is that they often cannot remember the exact stop position, and this is very important when you listen to spoken word material.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The great thing about the Sony MP3 CD players. They do exact resume. That's a standard feature in Sony CD players for, I think, 3 or 4 years now. They are quite good at that. However, if you open the CD door, the machine forgets the stop position. That was very, very good with the iRiver CD players. They could remember the stop positions of up to 10 CDs. By the way, there is a new MP3 CD player for blind people, the Victor Wave. It's kind of great. I mean, it can remember the stop positions of more than one CD, of course. The Vibe couldn't do that, the predecessor of the Wave. But the Wave can do it. It can also play Daisy CDs and audio CDs. So it's a very interesting player. Its casing looks like the old Rio Vaults. They all use the same drive. I think the drive comes from China. It's made by Hitachi, as much as I know. iRiver used that drive. Sonic Blue used that drive in their Rio Vault players. They all made their own casings, and the new Victor Wave has the casing of the older Rio Vault. So that's the most similar player to the old iRivers that you can get nowadays, I think. It's made for blind people. It has speech output. It has a numerical keypad on it, so you can go to specific MP3 files. This doesn't seem to work for audio files at the moment on music CDs, but it works on MP3 files and it works on Daisy CDs. You can set bookmarks by using the numerical keypad, and you can go to certain pages with it. You can increase the playback and you can decrease it with MP3 files and with Daisy CDs. It doesn't work with audio CDs at the moment, but this is a nice player, definitely.
Is this replacing the Vibe?
Well, I'm not sure. Sometimes I hear they want to sell it as a bigger brother, and sometimes I think it will replace the Vibe. I think it will replace the Vibe in the next months, but they may sell the two machines in parallel for a couple of months.
Does the Victor Wave have any recording capabilities?
No, that's the Victor Classic Plus with recording. I also tested that, and it just can do note-taking. It's not a DAISY recorder. It's just the best feature about the classic password recording is that you can actually copy voice bookmarks onto cards. So if you listen to a very interesting book, you can make voice bookmarks, you can make comments, you can then copy these comments onto a card, and if you just borrowed the player, you could give it back, and maybe a year later you decide to buy one, and you can put the card with the voice bookmarks into it and listen to the book and the voice bookmarks again. I do not know any other DAISY player which can do that. But else, its recording capabilities are quite limited.
Besides making MP3 CD players, iRiver makes hard disk MP3 players that also have recording functions, and you've reviewed one of these in the past. Could you talk a little bit about these players and what you feel about their recording capabilities?
First, something about the newer iRiver models, the H320 and the H340. I think iRiver already plans newer machines. I heard rumors that they will release this year the H330 and 360. So there is always something new to look forward to. But I have to say I prefer the older ones, the H120 and the H140. They've renamed their MP3 hard disk players. They were called IHP in the first place, Intelligent Hard Disk Player, but they then decided to shorten that to just an H. And in my opinion, all these machines do carry the name player quite rightly. They aren't recorders. I don't think that most people will get happy when they buy such machines as recorders. Because one, you cannot set the recording level while recording. And there is also no automatic recording level control. There is simply a fixed volume. You can set the recording level with newer firmware for the iRiver players before you record, but you have to do that in a menu, so blind people won't be very happy with that. Number two, you can't set any kind of markers while you record, which is possible with the new Marantz flash recorders and, of course, with all the mini disc recorders, which, in my opinion, is very useful. And so I like my iRiver players as players, but I hardly use them to record stuff. I do not know the Arcos players very well. I think they only have 2x5 milliwatts, and as I said previously, I'm a fan of loud headphone amps. Also, the general build quality doesn't seem to be as good as it is on the iRiver, but of course it's very nice to have a talking MP3 player, although the Arcos players with the Rockbox firmware cannot speak any name. They spell directory names most of the time, or you could use a script to record the names of directories with the speech synth for a PC, but this is quite cumbersome. And so what we need, in my opinion, is an MP3 player with something like the Eloquence built into it. Until that is available, I'm not looking forward to new versions of Rockbox, which can be used on the iRiver too hardly. I mean, I would be pleased if that becomes available, and I certainly play around with it. I mean, we have the ones from APH, the Bookport, and the Book Courier, which I do not know, but which were very interesting in my opinion. They can read MP3 tags, as much as I know. They have a built-in double talk, and they go into the direction into which I like MP3 players to go.
You mentioned the DAISY format a couple minutes ago. What types of things in Germany have been produced in DAISY format?
Now, in the last months, the first magazines were converted to DAISY. For instance, we have a weekly here in Germany called Der Spiegel, The Mirror, which one could compare to the Newsweek in the US. Being able to listen to that on a DAISY CD is really fantastic. I mean, it had 7 cassettes. We here in Germany use normal cassette formats, 2-track, normal speed. You had to listen to a lot of index tones. You had to do a lot of queuing and reviewing to find articles. We had a table of contents cassette, and they said cassette 3, track 1, number 5, that and that, and one had then to find it. And now they just say page 149, that and that, and then you just press the go to page key, 149, enter, and there you go. You can listen to the article. In my opinion, DAISY is best when it comes to magazines, and I read the frequently asked questions from the NLS, and they said that converting magazines to an alternative format. They said that compact flash or flash cards are too expensive for that. I agree. Would take even longer than converting the fiction and nonfiction books to flash cards. And so, I think that CDs, at least for magazines, are great because they are cheap and the libraries can send them to their users and tell them you can keep the CD. It's cheap after all. And so it's great. I mean, I like Daisy very much. I like, as I said, especially magazines on Daisy CDs.
Another type of recorder that you've reviewed in the past are the voice digital recorders made by Olympus and Sony and other companies like that. And they're not primarily designed for recording high-quality stuff. They're more designed for dictation. But you mentioned a couple months ago that Olympus actually has come out with some new recorders that actually record pretty close to CD quality. Tell me about those.
It records in compressed format. It cannot record in uncompressed formats. It records in 128 kbps WMA using a maximum recording frequency of 17,000 hertz. And so the recordings sound really quite well. The two Olympus recorders, which can do that, actually only one can record up to 17,000, the other can record up to 15,000, but I don't hear much difference. The two machines are quite blind friendly. I mean, the Olympus ones, if you press the record button, they beep. So you hear, I have accepted your command, I will now record. If you press it again, they go into pause mode and make another kind of beep. If you press record again, they start recording again and make the old recording beep sound. And all this makes these machines fun to use. One could compare it to a mini disc recorder, I think. It would be if you say that the mic amp of the B100 only can record up to 10,000 hertz. So perhaps recordings on the WS200S or the DS2, the two Olympus machines, might even sound better in some circumstances than mini disc recordings with the business recorders. And they become a USB drive when you connect the Olympus recorders to a PC. The newer Sony HiMD recorders do that as well, but you have to use special software to transfer the mini disc 8-track tracks from the recorder to the PC, which is not necessary when you use an Olympus recorder. You just use your Explorer or Total Commander or even Fordos or CommandCom to copy the files, and this is all very easy. And if you want to edit the files, you may open them in SoundForge, which, as much as I know, can read WMA files. And so you could edit them, you could cut and paste. I think these two Olympus recorders are definitely worth a try.
Are there any disadvantages to these new Olympus recorders?
They don't have an AC adapter socket, and they have a limited amount of memory. The DS2 has 64 megabytes, and the WS200S has 128. And if you use the best quality, you can only record for a maximum of 2 hours. And that's a disadvantage. I don't know why they did that. Perhaps they are a bit afraid of the music industry, and they said, well, we will make very high quality recordings available, but not with changeable media. That would be too much for the music industry. I don't know, but that's a limitation. That's definitely a limitation.
Isn't one nice advantage of the Olympus recorders over some of the other flash recorders the fact that the Olympus recorders actually act as USB drives, so it's very easy to transfer audio data from your Olympus recorder to your PC?
I'm glad that Olympus did make recorders available with which you can do that without having to do any kind of conversion. There are MP3 flash players from iRiver, and when you record with them, you would think that they would record in MP3, and they might even do that, but you have to use the iRiver manager software to transfer the files to the PC, and it will rename the files and it will do some conversion, but you can update these iRiver flash players with a special software which will make these machines become USB universal mass storage devices, and then you can easily transfer the files, but then you can only record up to 96 kbps, and all this is so cumbersome. And Sony has some nice flash recorders. I like them quite well, but they use their own proprietary format, and you would have to save the files in WAV format with a supplied digital voice editor, so that's another a bit cumbersome thing. But with Olympus, no problem. You just record the files. You have WMA files, and you can use them right out of the box.
Probably one of the most exciting pieces of equipment to hit the audio world these days are these new flash recorders. Eterol, Marantz, and M-Audio are making some of these recorders. Let's talk for a little while about flash recorders.
I think the first great flash recorder, at least for blind people, was actually the PTR1, because you can use compact flash cards in the recorder, and you can ask the thing how much time has elapsed while you are recording. You can ask the recorder how much time you have left.
I had a friend who had a PTR1, and I brought some of my microphones over to try on his machine, and I found that my condenser mics worked very well, but that my dynamic mics that I tried seemed to have a very low output. Is that a function of the PTR1, or is that more just a function of dynamic versus condenser microphones?
It's very interesting. Very interesting thing. A lot of dynamic microphones have a low output, but there are some Sennheiser mics. I have the MD46, which was built for the Olympic Games in 2000. So it's a reporter's microphone. It's very long. If you make interviews, you have to watch out so that you don't hit the people who you interview in the face with it. But it is very loud. It sounds fantastic with the PTR1. You can get loud dynamic mics and great sounding dynamic mics. I mean, it's a professional dynamic mic, and you can make great recordings. The advantage of a dynamic mic, of course, is that you don't have to worry about the battery of the microphone. It doesn't need any external power. The only battery about which you have to worry is the one of the PTR1 if you don't use the machine with the AC adapter.
Many people who record podcasts these days are doing a lot of what they call sightseeing tours, where they go around recording experiences out in the field, and they use binaural microphones, which are these small microphones which actually fit inside your ears and are supposed to give a very good reproduction of what you're hearing around you. Have you used these binaural microphones?
No. Again, this is a thing. I'm always a bit skeptical when it comes to such extremely audiophile things. Why would I want to wear microphones in my ears? I want to wear headphones to control the recording level. My best microphone is the Audio-Technica AT-822, a $300 or $400 thing, which sounds fantastic. It is a stereo microphone, an integrated stereo microphone with a three-position switch on, off, and bass roll-off. Normally, I'm a bit like, why should I buy studio equipment? I can buy cheaper things, and they sound as well, in my ears at least. But I never heard a consumer mic sounding as well as the Audio-Technica.
One of the complaints you made on the PC Audio List a couple months ago about the PTR1 was that you felt that the MP3 codec in the machine was not of very high quality.
They have improved it. You can now record in 256 kbps, but I still hear this strange sounds when you speak S letters. And this is the case on a lot of MP3 recorders. I think the problem is that you can't put a quick Pentium processor in such machines. People don't want to listen to vans when they use recorders, and so they have to use a relatively slow processor, which nevertheless should do real-time encoding. It's a great recorder for uncompressed WAV files, but as I said, the MP3 encoding is not too good. Also, it only has a monaural microphone input. I really hope that Plextor will do something about that, and I think they will.
Do you know if Plextor has any plans to make any upgrades or new releases to the PTR1 software?
The only thing I can tell you about it is they plan new things, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. We will know more in the fall of this year.
How do you record most of your interviews for Main Menu? Do you use the PC?
I'm still a bit skeptical when it comes to Windows, so I don't do any live recordings with my PC. I don't want to record an hour or so and then discover that my Windows has crashed. I normally use the PTR1 to record reviews I do and things like that. Also because one can really remove passages where one stumbles. If I make a mistake while talking, I just can go back a phrase and overwrite that. I don't even have to stop the recording. I just can go to pause mode, go back one or two phrases, and then press record again, and the mistakes don't get physically deleted, but they are logically removed, and this is really the easiest way to remove such mistakes that I know of. And as a PC program to edit stuff, which is great under Windows, I totally agree with that. I use SoundForge. I read the first messages from Jonathan Mosen. I remember the time when he was looking for an audio editor, and he first had that thing from Minnetonka software. And then he wrote that he found a better thing, and I also downloaded SoundForge and was really delighted to see how well it works. And I made a German language review about SoundForge, and there were some sighted people who asked me, well, can you use such a program like SoundForge as a blind person? It's so graphical. You can see a wave on the screen, and how on earth can a blind person use such a program? And I said, just listen to my review. It's absolutely doable. There are great new things in version 8. You can queue and review with SoundForge 8. I still can't remember the keys to do that, but you don't need the macro from Jim Snowbarger anymore to do that. With a SoundForge queue review, it's like a tape. So you hear these high-pitched noises when you queue and review.
There are three new Flash recorders which I know about that have recently come on the market. One is the Marantz PMD-660. One is the Eterol R1, and one is the M-Audio Microtrack. Can you speak about these recorders in general, and then in particular, any evaluation that you've made of any of them?
It's really interesting to see the new handheld and relatively portable Flash recorders from Eterol, Marantz, M-Audio, and number four is very interesting too. It's from Nagra, which is a company which makes recorders for movie makers. They have a very good reputation, and they plan a recorder called the Ares M, Ares-M. They say that it will cost less than 1,000 euros, probably less than $1,000 as well. Being able to have a Nagra for less than 1,000 euros, I don't think that I can resist that. Now to the Eterol and the Marantz. One could categorize these professional Flash recorders into two divisions. One division is the recorders which are more made to please musicians. That's the ones which can produce 24-bit uncompressed wave recordings and have echo effect and flange effect and things like that. And the other categories are the ones for a thing which the pros call ENG, electronic news gathering. And these recorders have great marking capabilities, so you can start a new track or set other kinds of marks while you are recording. The Eterol R1 is a musician's recorder. The Marantz PMD recorders are for ENG people, for radio people. I ordered an Eterol from my dealer, and it's quite nice, but it does not have a built-in speaker. You cannot start a new file while you are recording with the Eterol, and mine had a problem. I once said to myself, let's try to test how long two AA batteries last with the Eterol. And they lasted 3 hours. I was able to record 3 hours of BBC stuff from the radio, but the recording sounded so distorted that I couldn't understand a word. And I think I read that the Eterol people said that this is sometimes the case, and this is just an offset problem, and you could import these files into the Cool Edit or Audition program and kind of correct the offset, but I don't want to do that. I just sent it back. It's too complicated, in my opinion. I think I've given up on the Eterol. I also prefer these ENG recorders. I want to record from the radio. I want to set marks. And I was very interested, looking forward to the new Marantz PMD-660. And its features are really great. I mean, it has a speaker and a built-in stereo microphone, and it has two kinds of markers. You can start new tracks while you record manually or automatically, and you can set marks, EDL marks. Marantz call these EDL marks, markers which are written down in an index file, and so you don't have any gaps when you set these kinds of markers. And for both kinds of markers, you just press a button while you are recording. If you want to start a new file, you just press the record button while you are recording. Marantz calls this a manual track advance. You can switch it off in the menu, by the way. And if you want to set an index mark, you just press the mark button. All this is very blind friendly, and you can also ask the recorder to automatically start new tracks or set marks with the new files. You can do that in certain time intervals. So you could record 24 hours from the radio, start at 0 o'clock, and set the machine so that it starts a new file every hour, and you can then jump easily from hour to hour, which is fantastic. I mean, it's a really great recorder when you want to record stuff from the radio. From the features perspective, I like it very much. They did a great job by integrating these marker features, and also the internal microphone really sounds great. It doesn't have the S problem of the PTR1 when you record in 128 kbps MP3. By the way, you can use higher compression levels like 256 or 320. You can record in 16-bit wave, but nothing in between 128 kbps MP3 or wave. But in my opinion, that's enough, especially because 128 sounds so good. And it is also operatable by a blind person, I would say. It uses three profiles, and you could set each profile to a special recording source, one for line-in, one for external microphones. By the way, it uses XLR inputs, not the mini jack. And the third for the built-in microphone. And it's relatively easy to switch from profile to profile, so it would be easy to select the profile. But if you wanted to do more complicated stuff like switching the recording level, you would have to go deeply into the menu, and the menus of the Marantz aren't settable via a PC, as is the case with newer Olympus or Sony recorders. So this would be quite difficult. But if you decide, well, let's set the recording level automatic for the built-in microphone and for the two other sources manual, that's fine. That's absolutely doable. And because the automatic isn't as good as it is on Sony recorders anyway, you might decide to set it for all three profiles as manual. I think it's usable for blind people, especially because it has a built-in speaker and it is relatively easy to test things out. But now comes the big problem of the machine. Like the Edirol, it's, in my opinion, it's the kind of version 1.0 type of machine. You get a whining noise when you record via the external or via an internal microphone. And that's very annoying, and it's not just my test machine which has this problem. If you ask Google for PMT 660 space review, you will find quite a lot of reviews in which this is confirmed. And so I won't keep my Marantz. The next thing I will try is the Nagra. If Marantz is able to correct the whining noise problem, I think it's a great recorder. But I read that Japanese engineer of Marantz have said that this cannot be corrected in the next month. One can also hear the whining noise when one switches the unit on. It's a microprocessor which emits this noise. And so it's, as I said, it is still a kind of version 1.0 machine.
You said the next recorder that you're probably going to evaluate is the Nagra RSM. Tell me a little bit about this recorder.
With a Nagra, you can record up to 10 hours with two AA batteries. However, it only has 1 gigabyte of built-in flash memory, and that's probably why you can record so long with two AAs, because recording to flash memory doesn't consume as much power as recording to flash cards does. You can set markers with a Nagra, and to record from the radio, I can imagine that the Nagra would be more interesting. I read that they plan to release it in September. You can find information about it when you search for Nagra, N-A-G-R-A, space RSM, A-R-E-S-M, on Google. And there is also www.nagraaudio, all one word without a hyphen, .com. They also have some info about it, a press release. Nagra is one of the companies, more and more companies do that, and I like it very much, which publish the manuals of their recorders on the web.
Looking toward the future, do you think these new recorders are becoming more or less accessible by a blind person?
I once tried to set an award for companies who make their displays readable for blind people. I was hoping for a kind of port on every audio device and a reader, a little portable machine with which you could connect to the machine, to the recorder, or to the mini disc player, and it would speak the contents of the display to you, but this doesn't seem to happen. However, there is another great development at the moment. It's the ability of some machines to display and let the PC set their menus. There are some newer Sony dictation recorders, the ICD SX series and the ICD MX series, with which you can set at least some or most menu items via the supplied PC software. In Sony's case, it's the digital voice editor. You can adjust the recording quality. You can adjust the microphone sensitivity. You can ask the recorder to set its clock after the clock of the PC when you connect the recorder via the USB port with the PC. You can't seem to format a memory stick with a menu. Maybe you can do that with a simple Windows Explorer or something like that. But lots of menu settings are configurable via the PC. It's the same with some Olympus recorders, with the non-pro recorders like the DS2 and the DS2300. You get DSS Player, which is the Olympus dictation recorder PC software, and you have to upgrade to DSS Player Plus to set the menus, but this costs only around $15, and you then can set most menu items. With the Pro Olympus recorders, like the new DS3300, you don't have to buy anything extra. You get DSS Player Pro, and it includes the Plus features. And I think this may be the way forward. If we ask all the manufacturers, look, Sony and Olympus have made that for some of their machines. Could you do that as well, at least for machines with a USB port? I was wondering why these companies did that, because they certainly didn't do it for blind people. And if somebody asked me, you have a PTR1, would you like to set its menus via a PC, I would say, I normally would prefer to do it on the machine, but it would be a nice addition. So it's really interesting that they did that. For blind people, it's really a great thing.
Is there anything that I haven't covered that you'd like to mention?
I have a mailing list on the Freelist server in which we talk about all things voice recorder. I mean, we can also talk about the professional flash recorders like the Marantz and the Edirol and the Nagra and the M-Audio. To subscribe to that list, send a message to voicerec-l-request@freelists.org and put the word subscribe into the subject line. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at the moment. I have an address which is relatively easy to remember. It's michael-lang, L-A-N-G, @fastmail.fm.
If people have any questions for me about this interview or would like to get in touch with me, my email address is thcummings, that's C-U-M-I-N-G-S, @comcast.net.